Whether you're thinking about adding private money lending to your portfolio, or you're on your 10th deal, this podcast is just for you. Grow with Lila is for everyday people who want to grow their passive income, take more control over their investments, and get into real estate without swinging a hammer. Hey, I'm your host, Lila Zayed. I've been standing up new lines of revenue for 20 years. And after doing everything from building sales teams to monetizing solutions to bringing early stage B2B SaaS startups to market, I decided to dive headfirst into the world of private money lending, where even the modest returns are in double digits. As investing goes, private money lending is one of the more risky strategies. And even when your capital is secured by real estate, it can be a big effort to collect on that. So it helps that I'm a fish in water where there are tons of unknowns and hazards abound. I'm walking a few steps ahead, testing the riskiest hypotheses first, and I am sharing all my notes. Everything from big ideas to actionable step-by-step tactics that get results, so you can choose the right path for your own investments on your private money lending journey. Listen in to reveal the key decisions every PML faces before you face them and learn how to manage your risk, all while growing your entrepreneurial skills and mindset. Whether you're PML curious or an accomplished lender, each episode is designed to help you take immediate action on the most important strategies for starting and growing your private money lending business today.
Would I recommend lending on this deal to my parents? And if the answer is no, I'm like, okay, I'm not ready for this deal.
Today's guest on Grow with Lila is someone who is truly special and a dear friend. Not only is Dahe Yi a private money lender who is sharing her journey and lessons learned, but she's also solving one of the most common problems faced by private money lenders: access to quality deals and consistent, transparent data about each one. Founder of simplypml.com, it's a platform designed to simplify the lending process and empower lenders to make confident decisions. Dahe's journey is one that so many of us can relate to. She started out without any real estate experience, diving into this world with a mindset focused on learning, growth, and sustainability. Over the past 2 years, she's built a business that's all about quality over quantity, emphasizing thoughtful decision-making and creating long-term success. In our conversation, Dahe is going to share some of the lessons that she's learned along the way, her approach to avoiding pitfalls like FOMO in lending, and why she's on a mission to simplify private money lending for busy people like you, dear listener. If you've ever wondered how to confidently navigate this space while staying true to your goals and your values, this episode is for you. Dahe, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Lila. Oh my gosh, you're going to make me cry like you did at the bar when we met. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for the introduction. That just warms me up, like you always do.
Well, you warm me up, dear one, and it's so good to be here with you. Thank you so much for spending a little time today to share your story and lessons learned with our listeners. I wonder, can we just start at the very beginning? How did you get into private money lending?
That's a really good question. So I was looking for ways to buy more properties because I tried out Airbnb with my house. So I basically fixed up half of my house, put it on Airbnb, and it was almost covering our mortgage. So I'm like, I want to do this more. So that's when I discovered Pace. And then I wanted to join Sub 2, but it was such high financial commitment. And since I didn't have any other real estate experience other than the Airbnb, I kind of wanted to test myself. I wanted to join less expensive option, which was Gated Community, and kind of test myself if I actually like real estate and kind of learn about real estate first before I actually commit to that big Sub 2 community. Yeah, that's what why I joined Gator community and started learning about PML.
And so you had a little bit of success and you were like, I think I want to do more of this. You went looking for answers. You got into Pace Morby's Gator community, which is mostly about funding deals. What happened next?
So what happened next is I did two sub two deals because before I joined the Gator community, I was watching so many videos of Pace talking about sub two. I was direct to agent calling, calling all day with help of my Austin regional leader. He helped me close my first two sub two deals. I wholesaled one, and then he actually bought my second sub two deal. And then he made me an equity partner on it instead of paying me out for a wholesale fee. So after those two sub two deals, I said, okay, wholesaling is not for me. I'm done with this. I don't want to do this anymore. So that's when I focused on transactional funding, so EMD and double close. Focusing on that was my first year of joining Gator community. So it's been almost 2 years since I joined Gator. So my first year was a lot of lead generation, like reaching out to a lot of wholesalers, agents, just trying to find EMD and double close opportunities. And I did 7 EMD and maybe one double close. And I struggled a lot after doing those deals to find consistent deal flow for those. While I'm struggling with those, over here, I'm seeing so many people getting into PML deals and posting about how much money they're making and how successful these are. So I'm like, oh, let me look over here and just maybe switch my focus to PML side. So that was my second year. I switched my focus to PML.
All right, dear listener, Dahe is dropping the gems. Let me demystify some of those terms if you haven't heard them before. I'm going to work backward. EMD is an earnest money deposit. So when we buy a piece of property, we often put an earnest money deposit down on it. And if you're spending time growing your professional network of real estate investors who are purchasing and acquiring a high volume of properties, it's not a simple matter of just opening your checkbook and putting down the earnest money deposit. You're building a business and you're scaling it. And so having access to funds for earnest money from other lenders is absolutely how you do that. And a double close is where you close on the acquisition of a property. That's close number one. You acquire it, you buy it, you purchase it, and you turn around and you sell it. You dispo it in the same day, and you have a second closing that day. And that's what a double close is. But you've got to have the funds to buy it before you turn around and sell it. Those are the double close funds. And then wholesaling is when you buy something off market where you maybe knock on doors. There's a lot of cold calling, there's a fair amount of marketing involved, and it's often where real estate investors get their start. It's this myth, really, that you have to start as a wholesaler. And so many people do. Dahe, what was it about wholesaling that you obviously had success at it? You went out there, you applied yourself, you made it happen, you acquired two sub two properties. And this is another phrase I want to describe, dear listener. That's when we buy something, we acquire it subject to, meaning we leave the mortgage in place, which is totally awesome if it's a mortgage with a great rate. And it's a great way to help a seller who has a property and needs to walk away from it. Can help to repair their credit, get them in good standing. You acquire the property, everybody's happy. But back to this question about wholesaling, there you were. What kinds of activities were you doing? How did you feel about them? I mean, you were successful, but it wasn't all roses.
So it was a lot of calling. So since my strategy was direct to agents, I would go look at a lot of listings on Zillow, Redfin, and then if I see if those properties were bought between 2019, 2021, then I'll go look at PropStream and see, check their mortgage rate, interest rate, and if that was low, like 3%, 4%, I'll call them up and ask them, have conversation first, but then eventually get to the question of, hey, are you and your seller open to creative financing? Like, me taking over your mortgage. It was a lot of calling. I still have notes, but it was some really long notes. Every time I have a call, I take notes. I think I try to kind of calculate how many calls do I have to make to get to one actual deal. And I think it was around like between 50 to 100 calls that ended up being a one sub two deal that actually closed. Oh man, so it was a lot of calling, cold outreach. I guess it wasn't a lot of cold outreach for those agents. A lot of speaking with strangers.
Yeah, you did it. You did it. So my background is in sales, and a sales career often starts in cold calling. And I know exactly what that was. And that was time well spent, though, because even though it didn't suit you and you didn't love it, you learned a ton. And it's what got you to the next step. And what got you to the next step. And that's how you got into private money lending. So you shared with us that you were really just working really hard to find yourself the opportunities, the deal flow around EMD and double closes, because those were really great, but you just couldn't get the kind of volume you were after. And you were looking around and you were seeing that other folks were having some success with private money lending. So what did you do next?
I was just looking for lending opportunities. And because I didn't have a big network of people that can bring me deals, show me opportunities, it was really hard to find those opportunities. But over here, I'm seeing so many opportunities in the Gator community. People are funding. So I was just looking for deals. But in the hindsight, what I should have done is networking, like talking to a lot of people, like lenders, connectors, so that I can start building that relationship to find my people that I want to work with. I felt so much FOMO, fear of missing out, because I'm seeing so many people succeeding in private money lending. But I'm glad I didn't just try to jump in. I took my time. It took almost 10 months before I funded my first one. But I felt really bad because, like, why can't I find good opportunities and fund these deals? You know, Pace always emphasizes, get into deals. And I'll kind of feel bad about myself. Like, what's blocking me? Why can't I do this? The reason was because I didn't feel confident in chucking my hard-earned money that I worked for the last 10, you know, over 10 years. So it took a while, and I'm glad it did. What I did next was learning how to do this safely without feeling like I need to be in lots of deals fast.
So you took your time and you built your confidence by learning. Tell me what you needed to learn before you were ready to lend.
Yeah, so I think it was, who can I trust? Because I'm such a risk-averse person, I have to feel super confident. And this is a question that I always ask myself. Would I recommend lending on this deal to my parents? And if the answer is no, I'm like, okay, I'm not ready for this deal. I'm not confident. Either I need to know and have deeper relationship with this borrower, or I understand this market really well, so I'm really confident. What kind of time period is realistic? Unless I have those answers, I don't think I feel confident to fund a deal.
That is gold, Dahe. That is gold. And that's why you said that if I could go back in time, and you didn't say it exactly this way, but if I could go back in time and talk to me back there, I would say, focus on your network, girl. Like, that's what's going to get you there. And so it sounds like you got there. You might have liked to start there, but you got there. How did you begin to focus on your network? What activities did you do in order to get to know real estate investors who could ultimately be your borrowers or provide you with deals? Like, what was your next step in building that network of people who you trust and would want to do deals with, that you would even potentially recommend to your parents?
It wasn't clear to me then, but now I know what I'm doing and what's working, because I felt like I was just in reacting mode and I was just trying a lot of different things to find what I need to focus on. Since January, I focused on sharing my learnings in gated community, creative financing, free Facebook group, or on my personal Facebook feed. And what I'm learning, what I'm finding is when I share my journey as a private money lender, and when people see that, some of them could be borrowers, some of them could be lenders, some of them could be connectors. But as long as I share my journey, my learnings, and that can resonate with them, they'll reach out to me. And that's how I've been connecting with so many borrowers, lenders, and connectors, and been learning so much. I'll say, share your journey, share your learnings. And that's been like, I didn't know that actually works. I did that because my goal was to post a lot because that's what Pace says. And I'm like, wow, it actually works. I didn't even know why I was posting. I didn't believe, I trusted Pace, but I didn't know what I was doing, what I was trying to do by posting. But now it's clear how valuable that is.
Something I just want to pause and celebrate is your willingness to get outside your comfort zone, Dahe. Time and time again, when I ask you, and what was your next step? And how did you learn what you needed to learn to get from here to there? Every single story, you're way outside your comfort zone. You're like, I'm cold calling, I'm knocking on doors, I'm asking complete strangers if I can take their house off their hands. I am posting on social media, I am sharing about my own journey, even though nobody's listening, or worse, they are. and that's where the gold is coming from, whether it's a deeper understanding of what is working for you or connection with other people in the space. Our success is wholly dependent as private money lenders on our relationships with other people, right? Like, there's just no way to do a deal all by oneself as a private money lender. That's not a thing. It's not possible. But it's not just people, right? That is, I hear you, the single most important aspect of the deal. But you ran into another problem that you've shared with me, and that is that it was hard to get a sense of the viability of a deal based on its particulars. What is going on with this property? What is going on with this deal? How long do they want the funds? What do they want them for? And how do I get all of this information? Will you tell us a little bit about how you assess the viability of a deal and whether or not it's a good fit for you?
So I feel like that's two questions, because does it fit my goal? Does it fit my lending box? So first, I need to know, understand, identify my lending box. And I don't feel like I have that clearly yet. So I'm still in the process of identifying that. And I feel like what helps to identify that is to look at a lot of deals and think about, okay, I'm in Austin, so should I look at only Austin PML opportunities? Why not? Is it because I know more people here to reach out to for help if something goes wrong? Or is it because I'm willing to take over the property and fix it myself and finish it? So there are a lot of questions still in my mind to identify my lending box. And I think it's gonna take some time, but looking at a lot of deals and asking me a lot of those questions is helping me. So that's one part of your question. And how to vet a deal, I think, was another. And I've been asking the same question a lot to successful connectors, successful lender like yourself. And it's really understanding, right, eventually, can I get my money back? And in the time period that they promised. When I talk to successful connectors and lenders, what they've told me is how they vet the deal, and I learned this from them, is obviously they'll look at comps, right? The as-is value. So comps of the current condition of the subject property. And also you look for comps for after repair condition. So after you fix up, put all this money, what value would this match in the properties that's around it in the same similar condition? So you look at those and kind of assess, is the rehab budget realistic to achieve that ARV at the repair value? So comping, so underwriting. And you would also think about if it is gap loan, what's the total loan amount? So you're thinking about loan to value ratio. The pattern I've found is a lot of lenders like to stay at or below 75% of total loan to ARV. That's for gap funding that I've heard a lot. They want to stay under 75%. So I'm just going to take that and apply to that my lending criteria because that's what successful people are doing. So I would try to calculate that, try to find out all the loan amount for this deal to succeed and compare that to ARV for gap funding and understanding the market. So you would probably want to look at maybe average days on market for this similar property in that neighborhood. So if loan is for 6 months and they say the fixing up part is going to take 3 months, are there going to be enough time left to sell it? So if average days on market is 3 months, maybe 3 months rehabbing, 3 months selling, that may be realistic expectation. But you always want to have room, some rooms for unexpected things. Real estate, you always have some unexpected things coming up. So you always want to count for that some rooms to play with. And then vetting the borrower. A lot of people look for track record. And in there, what you're looking for is the project you're lending on, are there similar price range? So have they bought in that similar price range and succeeded in making profit? You're just verifying their experience. When they say, I've done five fix and flip deals in the last 24 months, you want to verify that. And you probably want to ask for references, maybe the past lenders that they've worked with or agents they've worked with. And really important one that I keep hearing is contractors. Verify their contractor, their licenses, and talk to them, their work experience with this lender or this borrower, because contractor can make or break the deal. So I don't think I'm covering everything, but that's not everything that I could think of right now.
To cover everything is not something that we'll be able to do within the scope of this episode. But I heard two kinds of information that we're looking for there when we are vetting a deal or making a decision about whether or not we want to lend on a deal. You're doing two things. Number one, you're applying your own knowledge about the market and about investing, meaning you're saying, what is the deal with this property? And what is it worth right now? What is the total loan against it? You mentioned gap loans is another way to refer to a second lien position or third or even further down the line, I suppose. But what you're saying there is, I need to understand how much loan money there is outstanding, including this loan, to assess how much equity is going to sit in that loan. But I also need to understand the market. I need to understand whether or not the work is going to get done, whether or not the contractor is good, whether or not I can take this thing over. So you can get all of that information from your own experience, from Zillow, your own resources. But then for each individual deal, there is a borrower. And there are the particulars about how this borrower plans to approach this project, about who they are, about the specs that they're building into this deal. And how do you find it's going when it comes to collecting that information from them? Do you feel like it's super easy to get all of the information that you're after about every single deal? Does that come to you in some sort of consistent way? Is that something that you have to work at as a private money lender?
It depends who I'm talking to. So borrowers that are now starting to look for private money solutions to scale their businesses, they don't have everything in one place. So for them, it's going to take a while to get back to me to give me LLC documents, the ID. I mean, they're busy too. So to collect everything, track record, I mean, that's going to take some time to put together. When I'm talking to people like that now looking for a private money solution, it takes a long time. But for borrowers that have gone through a couple of private money lending experience, it's probably easy because they already have all that information collected and they can just send a link to their Google Drive. But I do definitely have a list of things that I want to see, list of things that I want to ask. And it's not just, hey, send me all of this. I probably talk to them maybe 4 to 5 times before even I ask for those, because that's a lot of work to do for borrowers. Unless I feel like I'm serious about funding their deals, I don't ask for those. Those are more like 5th, 6th, 7th date questions. And I've heard a lot from borrowers too, that's a lot to ask. And they're having to do that for individual lenders. So it's a lot of time on their side. So I try not to ask for those unless I really, really need them to fund their deals.
Tell me a little bit about simplypml.com. I similarly want all of that information, and I'm met with varying degrees of willingness to share it. It's not that I've really met people who are unwilling to share the information. It's like you said, it's an effort to do so. And I want to do a napkin underwrite on the deal and, you know, and really feel kind of serious about it before I even ask. But then the deal can die on the experience of collecting this information from the borrower too. Maybe it moves too slowly, or they just don't pull it together, or who knows what. Something that is so cool about simplypml.com that, listener, if you haven't checked it out, go there, check it out. I can learn about not just deals, but also borrowers while I'm there. Will you tell us a little bit, as the founder of simplypml.com, what inspired you to create this platform and how can it help private money lenders in their own businesses?
I built this based on thinking about what do I want as a private money lender. I started thinking about that because I faced so many challenges when I started focusing on private money lending. First, I didn't have a big network of people that I can source deals from. When I actually did have that network, a lot of deals were getting sent to me by emails, texts, and then Facebook messengers. A PML with W-2, keeping track of all those deals in many different sources was just really challenging. I wanted just one place to be able to see all the deals. And second, when people share these deals, you're going to see very different pitch deck for every deal. It's going to look very different. So it's going to take a long time for you to compare and find that matches your lending box. So I wanted deals to be presented in standardized format. What standardized format can also offer is having all the key information upfront. Here I am, keep having to ask for key information like full address, because I need that to be able to go comp and look at the numbers. But that will take like a couple days for me to ask and them to get back to me. So I really wanted all the information up front. That's what I implemented in SimplyPML, so that lenders can have all the deals access in one place with standardized format and with all the key information up front.
What kind of an impact has it had on your business as a private money lender to have deals in a standardized format so that you do have all of the information right at your fingertips? Tell me about what that's done for your business.
Saving so much time. So like I said before, I'm still working on my lending box. Because these are all in the same format, I can quickly see, okay, where is it? What amount is it? What lien position is it? And what is it for? And what's the exit strategy? So I can quickly say no, because that's what takes so much time. Okay, this is in this area? No. This is this much amount? No. This is this second lien? Then no. So I can just say no so quickly now. So I can focus all my time in like few deals that I am actually interested in. So that's been really, really helping me a lot.
What kind of advice would you share with a private money lender who is just starting out, or maybe she's still just flirting with the idea of private money lending? Given all of these lessons that you've learned along the way, what might you tell her to focus on now in order to discover if PML is right for her and also where she should begin?
I felt really bad about myself because I couldn't get into deals fast enough. I think the reason I felt so bad was because I had false, unrealistic expectation. What I thought was I was going to get into Gator Community and be doing deals left and right every month in like 3, 4, 5 months. Did I? No. And I would feel so sad and disappointed in myself because I wasn't. Now I'm realizing that it's because of my false, unrealistic expectation. How long did it take for me to major in one thing? To go from elementary school to college to major in one thing? That's over 10 years. Why should I expect to be able to do this, build this business so fast in 3, 4 months? That's so unrealistic, at least for me. And it's also going back to building relationship is now I'm realizing building businesses takes time because building relationships takes time. So that's my biggest lesson I've learned so far. I would tell myself when I got started is just take your time. You don't have to get into deals for 2, 3 years. Just make relationship, just find your people, and you will know what you want to do. Because oftentimes when I started, I didn't know what I wanted to focus on. I was just trying a lot of different things and just saying no and realizing, okay, this is not for me. This is not for me. I don't know if you have to go through those, like, this is not for me, this is not for me to get to private money lending space. But now I feel a lot more confident in what I'm doing because I said no to all those things. So it might take a lot of times, like I did, to say no to other things, to focus on PML. It's going to take time. That's what I want to share.
Okay, so I'm going to recap that because I think it was so important and it really just touched me. So first of all, expectations. We can walk in with expectations, but they limit us. And this takes time. And the part that I think I really want to emphasize there is that we're worth it. When I think about how much time and effort it took me to amass any funds to use in my private money lending, I mean, it took me a lifetime. That fear of missing out, you know, that you mentioned, Dahe, it's real, right? I think there's so much lending going on in the communities that we operate in, that we both belong to, that it can feel as if it's passing us by. That's how I felt when I first joined the community as well. But it takes time to amass the funds and it takes time to know what's right for us. You mentioned a lend box, and I just think that building a lend box is the most important practice that a private money lender can do. I have a few lend boxes because there are a handful of different kinds of deals that, you know, that are the right fit for me. But the questions that one must ask themselves when determining what kinds of deals are right for me center on what is right for me. Most of the women who I talk to who have gotten into private money lending have done so for the desire of freedom. And there is often some sort of time-based element in that sense of freedom. I'm really grateful for what you said, that if you are new to private money lending or considering private money lending, you can take your time. Dahe, I just want to thank you so much for joining us here on Grow with Lila. You have shared so much wisdom and insight and so much sparkliness of you with our listeners. And I am so grateful for our time together.
My gosh, thank you so much for having me, having this talk with me. I love chatting with you and learning from you. So thank you so much.
I want to let you know, listeners, that every single link that we mentioned, from the Gator community to simplypml.com, can be found in the show notes for today's episode. And if you're looking to begin your private money lending journey, as I have, I've got a resource for you. It's a cheat sheet. It's a roadmap I wish I had had. It's a treasure map that reveals plain as day the obstacles faced by every PML and the 10 most common and most costly mistakes made by women who are new to private money lending. And best yet, how to avoid them. Whether you've not yet done your first deal or you've been skating by on sheer dumb luck, this freebie could save you tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of wasted dollars and so much time. Other women have shared these hard lessons learned so you don't have to fall flat on your face and instead can better manage your risk and maximize your wins. Download your I Want to Make Money, Not Lose It cheat sheet today at growwithlila.com/mistakes. That's growwithlila.com/mistakes. That's it for today's episode. I'm your host, Lila Zayed. If you have a pal who could use this episode or more like it, please, please share the link. And if you haven't yet, hit subscribe and follow this podcast so you never miss a thing. I can't wait to connect again next week at the same time, same place. In the meantime, here's to your health, your wealth, your freedom, and your joy.